Let's get into the Bible. The Apostle Paul said this to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. There are three main ideas that the Apostle Paul is communicating in these verses. First of all, that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to believers for the common good. What does that mean? That it means that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to individuals, but those individuals are to use those gifts to benefit everybody. They're not just to use those gifts to exalt themselves and to say how awesome they are. They are to use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given them for the common good. The other idea that's communicated in these verses is that the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives are varied and diverse. And he speaks about the gift of wisdom and of knowledge and of faith and gifts of healing and miraculous powers. So they are varied and diverse. And the other main idea that Paul communicates here is that it is the Holy Spirit who determines who gets what gift. You see that? It's the Holy Spirit who determines who gets what gift. So we cannot tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I want the gift of healing. Right? Now, some of you may have that private prayer on your own, but you could pray all you want. It is the Holy Spirit who decides what gift he is going to give to whom. And so these are the three main ideas: that the Spirit gives gifts to believers for the common good. These gifts are varied and diverse, and the Holy Spirit determines who gets what gift. What was going on in the Corinthian church is going on in churches all over the world today. And it's going on in this church, the Queens region of the New York City Church of Christ. Because God is using members of the body to strengthen, to sustain, and to build up the church. It is a beautiful thing to behold and to watch and to see what God is doing among ordinary men and women. Two Sundays ago, Robin and I visited the church in New Jersey because our dear friends, Russ and Sari Murdoch, decided to take up a ministry position in Mercer County, New Jersey. And so they were going to go on and they will no longer be a part of the New York City Church of Christ staff. And Robin and I are very close to Russ and Sari. And we felt that we wanted to go to support them because they had served the church here in New York and New Jersey for decades. And the send-off was very meaningful. Russ preached, and you know Sari sang, and it was very, very moving. Phil and the other staff members had everybody dress in Russ's favorite colors, black and yellow, because if you know Russ, he is a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. His grandmother raised him the right way. After the send-off, the elders came up. That's Chuck Royal, and you see Larry there on the right-hand side, and they they prayed, and they asked God to bless the Murdochs as they move over to the Mercer County ministry. But in spite of our absence, the Holy Spirit continued to work through disciples in Queens. I was able to watch the youth and family and campus worship, and that was amazing. I heard the personal testimonies, and I tell you, it moved my heart to see these young men and women who were inspired by the camp. And I want to thank Reggie and Kim for organizing that worship service. I thank the Tates for helping out. And I want to thank all of the camp counselors who gave their hearts. I mean, I'm so inspired by all of you. And of course, the young men and women who went to those camps and enjoyed the food. I heard a couple of times that the food was better and enjoyed the companionship and whose hearts were open to the Word of God. Last Sunday, I was out of town because I was meeting with the Caribbean Mission Society in Charleston, South Colombia. And I'm going to be sharing some good news about my trip shortly. But in my absence, the Holy Spirit continued to do his work here in Queens. I watched with great, great pride as I listened to Denton's sermon, bro. And it was amazing. Thank you. And I also was moved to tears hearing Carlos and Lucy's just open up their hearts and their life. When people share their life and are so vulnerable, it means that they feel safe here. And that is a beautiful thing, that we truly are family. And I thank you, Lucy, for just sharing your life and just being such an example to all the believers. I was moved to tears. Thank you. You see, brothers and sisters, no one can stop the Holy Spirit from giving gifts to his people. And I just hope that we all recognize that it is the Holy Spirit who has distributed his gifts for the common good of God's people here in this church. So why was I in Charleston? As I said before, I was in Charleston because I am a part of the Caribbean Mission Society. I'm actually the chairman of the board, believe it or not. And I'm honored to serve as chairman of the board. So what is it that the Caribbean Mission Society, what does the Caribbean Mission Society do? Well, what we do is we receive donations. We receive donations from churches in the United States, and then we redistribute those donations to churches in the Caribbean. There are 13 churches that we are affiliated with in the Caribbean. They're all listed there: Jamaica, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Bahamas, Puerto Rico, St. Kitts, St. Vincent, Barbados, Grenada, Trinidad and Tobago, Guyana, and Suriname. If you ever go to any of these islands for a visit, or you on a cruise ship and they pass through those islands, I want to encourage you to look up your brothers and sisters in those churches to encourage them. The Caribbean Mission Society is a registered 501c3 nonprofit entity. And we have currently these board members. It's myself and Matt Rupert from New York. We have Marcus Overstreet from Orlando, Matthew Smith from Columbia, South Carolina, Jeff Hickman from North River, Georgia, Samantha Blake from Hartford, Connecticut, and Devon Sparks from Broward, Florida. These are our board of directors, and what we do, the churches every year, they submit grants to the CMS, and we sit down and we review the grants and we go, okay, how are we going to equitably distribute the financial resources that we have been given? While I was there, there were three bits of great news that I want to share today, okay? Just to show you how the Holy Spirit has been working. Great news number one is that the CMS is in the process of adding another member to its board, and that is great news. Who is the new board member? It is Jesse Goman, who is the evangelist in Charleston, South Carolina. Charleston, South Carolina, last year they gave the CMS $15,000, but this year, because of the way they exceeded their local special contribution, they have committed to giving over $50,000 to the Caribbean Mission Society. And let me tell you something, that is good news. That is good news. So I'm very encouraged by that. Good news number two is that the Caribbean region had its very first Caribbean campus conference this year. Very first ever. Okay, we've been in the Caribbean for at least 35 years, and this is the first time that we've had a Caribbean campus conference. The brother who shared about it was Matt Rupert. The theme was Ignite. And students from all over the Caribbean gathered in Jamaica at the University of the West Indies to have their faith ignited so that they could dream great dreams for what God wants to do through them as campus students. Here they are on the big tree doing a Bible study, and then on Sunday they met with and worshiped with the Kingston Church of Christ. Please be praying that God continues to fan into flame the dreams and visions in the hearts of the young men and women who attended that conference. Good news number three. The DR Church planted its fourth congregation in San Juan de la Maguana. Yes. San Juan de la Maguana is where that big star is on the map. The church in Dominican Republic was planted by the New York Church in 1994. A young 24-year-old campus graduate called Angel Martinez was on that mission team. Angel and Luz would eventually go on to lead the mission team, and for the past 30 years, the Spirit has used them to build an incredible church on the island of Dominican Republic. Angel reported that this past year, the church planted its fourth church in San Juan de la Maguana. 14 disciples were sent on the mission team, and at the inaugural service, there were 300 in attendance. Isn't that amazing? Angel said, please pray, because they have more people who are interested in studying the Bible than they have disciples. And that is a beautiful problem to have. Amen? The point is that the Holy Spirit is all about missions. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 12, verses 23 to 33. Jesus answered them, the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified and exalted. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. Anyone who loves his life loses it. But anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. Whoever has no love for, no concern for, no regard for his life here on earth, but despises it, preserves his life forever and ever. If anyone serves me, he must continue to follow me, to cleave steadfastly to me, to conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, dying. And wherever I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled and distressed, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour of trial and agony. But it was for this very purpose that I have come to this hour, that I might undergo it. Rather, I say, Father, glorify, honor, and extol your own name. Then there came a voice out of heaven saying, I have already glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd of bystanders heard the sound and said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. Now the judgment or crisis of this world is coming on. Sentence is now being passed on this world. Now the ruler, the evil genius, the prince of this world shall be cast out or expelled. And I, if and when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, will draw and attract all men, Gentiles as well as Jews, to myself. He said this to signify in what manner he would die. Jesus said it very clearly. If and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw and attract all men to myself. By dying on the cross, being lifted up, Jesus' desire was to draw or to attract all men to him. Now, the language that is being used, it's not just men only, but Jesus wants men and women, can I get an amen from the sisters, to come to him. He wants all men and all women from all walks of life, from different backgrounds, who speak different languages, who were born in different nations, and who have different shades of skin color. All humanity, Jesus wants to have a relationship with. Amen. That is what the Holy Spirit is all about. And that is what the New York City Church of Christ is all about. We are all about missions. We believe that by participating in an annual missions contribution, we can do our part to offer financial support for our brothers and sisters on the mission field. The U.S. dollar goes a long way in the Caribbean and in Africa. Can I get an amen? And every year, members of the New York Church take up what we call a special missions contribution. This year, the elders set a goal before the congregation of $1.153 million. And I'm going to provide a missions update. So as of September the 19th, the New York missions update, New York City Church of Christ missions update, there's our goal of $1.153 million. And we have given $1.128 million, so we are almost there. Amen. And so far, the combined participation in the New York City Church is at 61%. So we're a little short of 100 as a church. I want to give a Queens update. Our local Queens, so far, we have given $118,825. Our goal, as we said before, was $100,000. And you can see by the numbers, praise Jesus, we have surpassed our goal. And I want to thank all of you who gave not once, not twice, but three times. I thank you all. for your generosity. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that our participation rate in Queens was over 90%. Well, it turned out that the participation rate was much higher. Yes, I was told that the participation rate for our missions was 104%. Now, I'm not really good at math, but I do know that it is impossible to have a participation rate of 104%. And I know at least that. And what our administrators realized was that there was a glitch in the matrix. And so an audit was performed, and Bobby called me up last week and said that after the audit was completed, they realized that there was some double counting in our participation rate. However, once the corrections were made, we landed at 84%, and I am excited about our participation rate being 84%. Now, we're a little short of our goal, but I believe we're on the right track, because last year our participation rate was 78% in 2024, but now we're at 84%, and so we're going to set our sights next year to go even higher for 2026. But what the Holy Spirit is telling me is that people's hearts are being moved, and that more and more of us are beginning to understand the importance of this annual special contribution. So I praise God for enabling us to be generous, and I thank all of you for doing your part as we try together to lift Jesus up for others. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. He said, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul says something that is profound. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal to us. This is an important truth that every believer must embrace. Every single one of us who's a believer in Christ is an ambassador of Jesus. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative, a messenger, and an interpreter who serves as an official representative of a sovereign, carrying the authority and message of the sender to a foreign land. I say again, every believer is an ambassador of Christ. No matter who you are, no matter how you feel about your spirituality, you can have an influence on the eternal destiny of others. A few weeks ago, I got to speak with the evangelist who serves in Bogota, Colombia. His name is Luis Miguel. Sebastian Sarah helped me make the connection with Luis. God has been doing amazing things in Bogota. The disciples in Colombia continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. There are 10 churches in Colombia. The largest church is in Bogota with about 500 disciples. There are another 2 congregations with over 100 members. But there are about 7 churches scattered throughout Colombia with less than 50 members. What amazed me is that the church in Colombia receives no financial support from anyone. Some years ago, disciples in Bogota decided to move to different regions in Colombia for different reasons. Some were searching for better jobs. And the leadership in Colombia said to the whole church, everyone needs to look at themselves as a missionary. This was a central pillar of the collective faith of the church in Bogota. The leader said, "We can't stop you from going to other places, but wherever you go, you are the church." I was so inspired when Luis told me about a family who moved to a remote region, a married couple with young kids. They embraced this vision. We are the church. And in their living room, they would gather the family together and sing songs. They would have a worship service, the husband, the wife, and their little kids. And they would sing songs in anticipation of people coming to join them for their worship service. But whether people came or didn't come, they would still sing songs to praise and glorify God because they believed in their hearts that they were the church. They did this for several weeks and nobody came. But eventually people started to come. And they studied the Bible with people. And now that little tiny couple with two little children, they now have 30 disciples in that small congregation. I'm telling you, man, when Luis told me this story, I broke down crying. I was emotionally moved and spiritually invigorated after my conversation with Luis Miguel. Why? Because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the lives of ordinary men and women of faith in Colombia. You know, I shared last Sunday that I was in Charleston. And most Sundays, because I'm a minister, I always have an agenda. I have a sermon to prepare. I got a huddle to do in the morning. But this Sunday, I had absolutely no responsibilities. I came to church just like any other member. And it felt really weird. Nobody asked me to even do an opening prayer, nothing. And it was a tight space. And so, you know, all the chosen seats were taken. I'm just being real. And so I had to go in the back on the wing, and I sat down just next to a young guy. I didn't know him. I introduced myself to him. He's a young Latino guy called Christian. And I just said, well, maybe I should just talk to Christian. Because nobody else wanted to talk to me. I'll talk to Christian. So I asked Christian. I said, hey, Christian, are you a member here? And he said, no, it's his first time visiting. And I said, really? I said, how did you find out about the church? He said, Instagram. I never met Instagram. How does this work? I said, okay. So this is a young man who has no contact with anybody in the church. Shortly after, two young Caucasian men came and sat on my right side. Now, I'm the old guy here. You got Christian, you got two young Caucasian campus guys. And I introduced myself to them, Gideon and Ethan. They were visiting from the University of Charleston. It was Gideon's second visit, and he brought his brother, Ethan. So here I am on a row with three men, decades younger than I, who were all visiting the church. And as we continued to worship, I was thinking, what does God want me to do with these men? Right here, right now. And during the worship service, there were presentations about the work in the CMS, and Gideon and Ethan turned to me and started asking me questions about what was going on. Well, I was happy to let them know about the CMS. And they seemed extremely interested in what the Spirit was doing in the Caribbean. After church, I engaged in fellowship with them and learned that their uncle was a missionary in Kakistan, and that as teenagers, these two young men spent 2 weeks in Kakistan as teenagers. Soon after the worship was over, God, praise God, sent a younger man, Matt Rupert, over to me. I introduced him to Gideon and Ethan. But of course, I couldn't forget about Christian on my left, the young man. What happened with Christian, you may ask? Well, during the worship service, I learned that they were having an event after church called Next Steps. Jesse invited anyone to attend. Next Steps is just an opportunity for people who are visiting church and not really sure what they want to do, if they want to learn more about the church, etc. And they were also offering Chipotle. So I said, this is my opportunity. So I turned to Christian and I said, Christian, you should go to this event. And he looked at me and he seemed, you know, kind of reluctant. But I reminded him about the free Chipotle meal. And he had a big smile on his face. But when we parted ways, I wasn't really sure if he would go. Then after the worship service had ended, I put my arm around Christian. I said, please go check it out. But you know, as I was heading out the door, I really didn't know if Christian was going to come. But as I was heading out the door, who should I see sitting in the back of that meeting all by himself was Christian. He went. Later on, I called Jesse and I said, Jesse, there's a young man, a Latino guy who's sitting down in the back. His name is Christian. He said, Sean, I met him and I'm going to do a Bible study with him on Tuesday. You know, I don't really know how the story with Christian, Gideon, or Ethan will end. But I'm just glad that God allowed me to just play a small part sitting in the pew. And here's what I learned. Here's what the Holy Spirit told me. Sean, no matter if you're preaching on a Sunday or if you're sitting in the pew, you are still an ambassador of Jesus. I can still open my mouth, and God can still make his appeal through me. Every believer is an ambassador of Christ. I want to close with some encouragement to our young Christians. No matter if you're 1 month old in the faith or 10 years old, God has commissioned you to be an ambassador. I encourage you to speak on his behalf. You may not know everything, but what you do know can change someone's life. Never forget that God makes his appeal to the lost world through you. I want to encourage our married couples. It's so easy to get busy with life, busy with kids, busy at work, busy taking care of the family members, busy with the dishes, busy with the lawn, busy with the car, busy, busy, busy. I understand that. I've lived that. But I think it's important to hold on to the convictions that you are an ambassador of Christ, a married one at that, regardless of what circumstances you're in. There's someone whose path you will cross. And we only need to set our minds on the purpose that God has for our lives. I also want to encourage those who may be feeling a bit discouraged spiritually. As Errol shared earlier, the spiritual life is filled with ups and downs. Even in your lowest moments, you're still an ambassador of Jesus Christ. God believes in you, and God can work through you to make his appeal to others. I know in an audience like this, there are people who are visiting. Maybe you saw our Instagram post. Maybe you found us online somewhere. Maybe somebody invited you, and the person who invited you didn't even show up today. Well, you're here because God brought you here. And the question you have to ask is, what do you really need at this point in your spiritual life? I think you need someone who is going to be an ambassador. an ambassador of Christ, a person who carries a message, a person who interprets, a person who guides, a person who will lift Jesus up so you will see him more clearly. I believe that there's ambassadors all over in this auditorium, and I want to encourage every Christian and every believer to remember that you are an ambassador of Christ. Amen. At this time, we'll have Carolyn Thomas with some closing announcements.